This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's The Last Time by the Rolling Stones. It could be the last time. I don't know. An elimination game classic, if there ever was one.
Yeah, they're kind of fun, elimination games. You know, one team wins, one team goes home, and it's not exactly a game seven.
It's the one time you can actually call something must win. And it has some meaning.
There you go. So you were there yesterday at practice. You saw Ja walking anyway. What did you see of Ja Morant?
I saw him behind the glass in Tumas Isolo's office with Jaren Jackson and Desmond Bane having some kind of conversation. And then I saw the door open, and I saw Ja Morant walk out of the door and walk across the court, and that is what I saw of Ja Morant.
And what was the nature of his walk?
He was limping, and I don't think it was like a pimp limp. I think it was a legit my ankle hurts limp.
Did he have a boot on as he was?
There was no boot. He was wearing sweatpants and slippers or slides or whatever those things are called, and just walking.
He was walking and limping.
There we go.
And what did Isolo say about it?
He said, that it's a game time decision, a legit game time decision, which I think it's not at all surprising. I mean, I think, Ja said, I'm going to play, mostly to get people to stop asking him the question on Friday night. But he didn't know if he was going to play. No one knew if he was going to play in the aftermath of that game.
What do you think goes in?
You got to wake up the next day,
Don't you imagine he will try to play? I mean,
I do. I mean, I think... I mean, I'm not Ja Morant. I'm not a team doctor. I don't, what's the cost benefit of playing on the ankle based on how bad it. I don't know the answers to all that. But he came in and played the game and was not himself, but was able to be somewhat effective. And so, yes, I think he will probably attempt to play. But I don't think it's the kind of thing where he should play no matter what. I think there's a level of severity or a level of limitation where he probably shouldn't play.
Well, some of it has to do with how effective he can be, and then some of it is, yes, I don't know, he came in to play the other night, so presumably there's not some risk of great damage, so it's mostly about effectiveness and pain tolerance.
No, presumably, if it's going to be a game-time decision, then they've determined there's not a risk of great damage already.
Yeah. What's the matchup like for Ja Morant, either hobbled or otherwise?
They're big. So, I mean, they're going to have a big defender on him most of the time because they don't mostly play big. And so there is that. And that's teams tend to do that with Ja. And so, but on the other end, I think it's harder for them to pick at him defensively. And that's almost a bigger concern when you have the ankle injury. He's already a so-so defender probably at best. And now he's more of a target with the ankle. And maybe they'll try to post him. But they're not playing in their starting lineup off the dribble players. Now they do have a guy coming off the bench in Brandon Williams, who was a two-way guy most of the year, who they signed, who's a quick guard, explosive. I saw him have his career high in Dallas a month ago when I was there. He played well off the bench in the play-in. That is a guy who's quick and athletic, and maybe he gets in the game and he tries to go at Ja. But even if Ja has a bad ankle, if you put him on Klay Thompson, Klay's going to look to shoot threes, not take Ja off the dribble, So, so they're not really equipped to attack him off the dribble the way other teams might be.
And I know you did this stuff where you look at the numbers of the Kings versus the Mavs in terms of the better matchup. Well,
that wasn't matchup. That was how teams
played. But from the This feels like a better matchup just because of the perimeter players that were available to do damage.
It's debatable. They're very different teams, the Kings and the Mavs. The Kings have a lot more firepower.
Right.
The Mavs are much better. Kings are much better offensively. The Mavs better defensively in terms of how they're constructed. You know, there's a real question of the Grizzlies' offense. The Grizzlies' defense has been a problem lately, and the Mavs seem certainly less likely to bomb away from three against the Grizzlies than the Kings would be. You know, it'll be interesting to see like how they deal with the Mavs' size in terms of the Grizzlies' offense. I wonder if like, you know, Jay Huff's gonna get into the game because there's a big man who can stretch the floor and bring guys out. You know, I don't think they're gonna do the same like seven man like, you know. I think they're gonna loosen it up a little bit in terms of who they play, would be my guess.
Well, one of the things in the piece you wrote today, Isolo said there's no extra point. It's for paint points.
What was that discussion? And the way he talks about stuff really speaks to me because it sounds like something I would say like to you on the show, right?
Exactly,
it's like
right.
I mean, so many times in sports, people would just start saying like the stuff that sounds good. If you just stop and think about like the logic of things, it's like, well, you know, it's like points in the fourth quarter aren't worth more than points in the first, and points in the paint aren't worth more than points in other parts of the floor.
How did it come up, and what was the discussion?
Someone asked him, I guess the Grizzlies, I don't even know what the full season stats look like anymore, but they're among the leaders in paint points, and part of that's their pace, but also that they pressure the rim. And someone asked him, like, how are you going to, you know, get your paint points you usually get against this matchup? And he sort of was indicating, you know, if a defense is good at taking one thing away, that means they're leaving you something else. And a good offense it's not going to rely on the one thing. Like, we got to do the one thing. You have to have the versatility to get other stuff.
So what do you imagine the key? And you mentioned Jay Huff may see action just because he can possibly space the like. What?
That's just a guess of mine. Yeah. He has not seemed eager to play Huff. Huff was good in game 82, and I know that was game 82, and the Mavs were sitting guys, but they were also playing a lot of guys who were going to play in this game. And I just, you know, he talked about you know, the Grizzlies in the sort of the floater range, short mid-range. The Grizzlies are very good in that area, and that can bring guys out a little bit, and Edie can slip behind them for offensive rebounds. We also talked about needing to space the floor, you know, in terms of three-point shooting. And so if you want to get more three-point shooting on the floor, more than you're getting normally with who you play. I mean, that sort of brings up the idea of Huff, you know, especially from the front court. But Luke Kennard does not need to take two 3-pointers in this game.
Right.
That number's got to go up.
Right. It is interesting. You know, we talk about the weird situation the Grizzlies are. We have that whole debate, whatever. Do you want them? Whatever. Very clearly, I think we all want them to win at this point.
I want them to win personally. I've decided yesterday the number one reason why I want them to win is I'm not ready mentally or energy-wise to do the closing media session tomorrow. I'm not there yet in my headspace of trying to deal with that and write about that. I need a few days to like get there, so give me a few days. Like,
plus this game is gonna you're gonna leave the building after you write today. At
right,
2
they're gonna make us come back at 10 a.m. for the final media session.
I'm not
ready for that yet.
Yeah, I imagine Zach Kleiman at that media session. Oh, goodness. And then there's the coaching thing. And there's so much stuff. Instead, you could be getting on a plane and flying to Oklahoma City for a game Sunday. It is interesting because in this circumstance, was it Friday, Sunday against?
It was Friday, Sunday. I've had this in my back pocket waiting for this moment, right? And so if they win tonight, like, spoiler alert, I'll probably write this. But it was. I haven't looked it up, but I think I remember it. It was 2011, series against the Spurs. They win game 6, win the series in triumph. I'm pretty sure that was a Friday night game and a late game. And they had game 1 in OKC, early tip on Sunday. And everyone was like, well, this game, I can win this game. This is the game you lose, and then the series starts. And they just took that momentum and rolled it right into the early tip on Sunday. And Marcus Gasol, the big trains from Memphis game, Marcus Gasol and Zach Randolph both had big games. They won game 1 in OKC.
And it was pointed out to me because we talked about that earlier in the show, and then it was pointed out to me, was the Utah win a similar quick turnaround when they won game 1?
They won game 2, I think.
Oh, that was game 2 that they won.
Or did they win game 1? I think they won.
Jeffrey's holding up one.
I thought it was they won game 1 and then it was a gentleman's sweep.
That might be right. They won one of the two games in Utah. I can't remember which one.
Yeah, and I think that could have been, would have been similar because that would have been a play-in game that they just won, and right. It presumably would have been a quick turnaround. So it is interesting, though. You look at the Grizzlies situation. The Mavs, of course, had the worst season of anybody. You know, like
Philadelphia, probably them. I mean, it's
just because they've so infuriated their. I mean,
they traded away their star. Philly their star is just deteriorated before their eyes. You know?
Right,
they didn't make it happen.
So you wonder what you wonder what they're thinking over there. Well, either as a front office and a team and whatever else.
Well, the front office will not be suiting up tonight, and so it doesn't matter what the front office thinks. And Anthony Davis is thinking, like, everyone's mad because, like, you know, you traded a guy for me, but, like, I'm pretty good. And so that's probably what Anthony Davis is thinking. And, like, a lot of these other guys are, like, Klay Thompson's probably like, hey, dude, I got four rings. You want to see them?
Right.
And so I think the players probably, in terms of personal pride, actually have plenty to play for the Mavericks, regardless of how the fans feel or the front office feels or anybody else feels.
Yeah, you did point out that since their last 30 games, the Mavs were 12-18, the Grizzlies 13-17.
Yeah.
Sort of similar belly flops down here at the end. Of course, where in there did they lose Kyrie? Would he have been missing for all 30 of them, presumably, or most of them?
Most of them. I think he played, I don't remember the number, but he didn't play a lot of those games.
All right, one question that we asked. I want to ask you about the other series real quick. And maybe this is a topic for the summer when we can, you know, we think of the core four. The phrase, did Isolo call him the core three today? Isolo called him the core three.
That was a quote.
We talked about the core three. If you peel off Tony Allen as his own self,
right,
and you think of the Grizzlies core four as the core three.
Yep.
I have at least in my mind thought, well, they had a much more limited upside. That original core four had a much more limited upside. This is a more gifted group and they're capable of greater things, but maybe not, you know, as rugged or what. In the end, is this core three better than that core three?
Not necessarily. It's interesting because there's a few different things there. We think of it as sort of this frozen in amber thing of the old core four. Those players, again, set Tony aside, the other three evolved over time. And so we actually didn't get the best versions of them all at the same time.
Simultaneously.
Because Zach was ferocious that first playoff series. And then he wrecked his knee the second season. And he came back from that pretty well, but didn't come all the way back. And then Mark and Mike got better over the course of that.
You're putting the best Mark in the best Z-Bo.
There was a seesaw effect of that team where the best version of Zach was early, the best version of Mark was middle, and maybe the best version of Conley was late. Because when you get to the year seven of it, Conley's the best player out there.
Right.
So you never got the best versions of all at the same time. That said, if you just look at it in total, like, Ja's better than Conley. I know there's questions of durability and questions of all those stuff, but come on.
He's
better. But when you look at the other two, like, as good as Bane is, Bane's never made an All-Star team, right?
Better than Z-Bo.
No, Z-Bo made an All-NBA team that year. And so Z-Bo was better than Bane. And then the Jaren Mark thing is interesting because the resume stuff is sort of similar, like a defensive player of the year, a couple All-Stars, players who have really versatile skills, but, you know, with some limitations and whatever. But here's the thing. Marc Gasol, like, Jaren Jackson might make third team All-NBA. We thought he was going to make second. Yeah. Now he might make third and he might not. Mark made first team All-NBA. First. Marc Gasol was a top 10 player in the league at his peak. He wasn't even considered that by a lot of Grizzlies fans, but they were wrong. Marc Gasol, I think Marc Gasol was underrated in Memphis at the time. I think Marc Gasol was a better player at his peak than Jaren has been to this point, as good as Jaren has been. Like, Marc Gasol was first team All-NBA.
And that was at a time, did you need a center? Like, did you have to have a center back then in your first team All-NBA?
Maybe not, but I think he deserved it regardless. It wasn't like he didn't score 25 points a game, but the totality of his play on both ends of the floor. It's debatable. And like I said the other day, all three of these guys are younger than Zach Randolph was in 2010,
right.
Much less 2011.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, right now you mentioned that we never saw the best of the core 4-3 players all at their peak at the same time. Weirdly enough, we haven't really quite seen it with this team, mostly because of health. Like, you've seen the best Jaren now, although not
The first half of the season. Right. Yeah.
Like Dez, what's the best Dez? Pretty much.
Dez sort of pops up and down a little bit.
Pops up and down. But then it feels
best
like
version of Jaws.
2 years ago? 3 years ago?
Three years ago. I mean, I think he can come back. But it can come back.
You can still have the best version of these players simultaneously. Still possible.
Yes, and I think that's what the team should be pursuing next season.
Right. Okay, let's go real quick through some of these other series. Have you thought about predictions? Let's take Clippers versus Nuggets.
I haven't had time to think a lot. I can do it sort of off the cuff. I think the Clippers going into the playoffs are a better team in total than the Nuggets are going into the playoffs. There's volatility there because you're going to wake up in Game 3 and Kawhi Leonard's done for the playoffs. Like, that could always happen. But if you stipulate to me everyone stays healthy, I like the Clippers. I give the Clippers the edge.
There's a hell of a center matchup there.
Yeah. Jokic and Zubats, and they're both really good. One's better than the other, but they're both really good. I just think the Clippers have been the better team the last few months.
Lakers, T-Wolves.
I'm torn on that one because I actually think the T-Wolves in total are a little bit better, sort of like the Clippers-Nuggets series.
Right.
But, like, they got LeBron James and Luka Doncic, and if you're slowing down the game and going possession by possession, you got both of those dudes. Am I going to trust Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle more than I trust LeBron James and Luka? So to me, that's a real super toss-up kind of thing. I won't be surprised if the Wolves win that series. I don't think the Lakers are as good as the star power suggests they are.
Well, and the numbers, actually, Luka has not been Dallas Luka in L.A., you know, as much as we can lament the fact that he's there at all. Rockets-Warriors.
These three series are super interesting.
They're all great.
I think, again, I'm going sort of with the road team, the lower seed. I think the Warriors have been better over the last few months. I know the Rockets ended up, you know, winning. The Rockets won a lot of close games. They ended up with the three seed, but what, they had three wins? What were they, three wins, four wins, something better than the Warriors on the season? And the Warriors didn't have Jimmy Butler all season.
Right.
And so I think the Warriors have probably been a little bit better team, you know, post-trade deadline, whether the record says that or not. I think they have been. And then you factor in the been there, done that of Curry and Butler, and so I kind of like the Warriors there.
It'll be fascinating to see Thompson if he can make Curry disappear. Like, that's going to be a
Amen Thompson, yeah.
Yeah, great matchup. Okay. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time with the whether the Grizz are in it or whatnot, and then we'll skip the particularly the Cavs versus the Heat, whatever.
Yeah.
Let's go to Pacers Bucks. Lillard evidently is going to be back, maybe, possibly.
That's an interesting matchup of a better team, better player, and a lot of times in the playoffs, the better player wins, and that's Giannis Antetokounmpo for Milwaukee. But I give the Pacers a slight edge on that one. I think they're a better team.
And then a super fun series, Knicks Pistons.
I would love to see the Pistons pull off an upset there.
I can't do it.
But I don't believe in it. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if that was like Knicks in five.
Yeah, that would be fun. All right, Chris, appreciate it. See you tonight at FedEx Forum. It's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. You can still get tickets available for tonight's. It's basically it's a game seven, man. It's do or die. Backs against the wall, all that stuff at FedEx Forum tonight, Grizzlies versus the Mavs. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins, Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.